Okay.
Call the meeting to order.
Okay.
Blanks, I'm looking at the agenda, I see that we don't have the requirement to approve the agenda this afternoon or any of that good stuff.
Well, it's a workshop.
Okay.
I don't know that you have to approve the agenda, you can.
Well, we'll make that announcement that this is a workshop, it's a public meeting, it is not a public hearing, you're welcome to listen. We're going to be discussing three different issues today. The revised open space definition, superior design criteria proposal, and the super green criteria proposal. Gentlemen, I trust that you've all received copies, Mr. Blank gave them to us a while ago, and that you have had a chance to look at them.
The only thing new, there was a, I just passed out to three of you, the super green ordinance proposal, an expanded version dated July 31st of '08. We received it on the first. I didn't get it till Monday, so we just passed them out rather than tried to deliver them, so there's a little bit more detailed information. Just on the super green, the John Hughes, Secretary of Department of Natural Resources Environmental Control, is gonna make a brief presentation to County Council on the 19th, I believe.
That's my understanding.
For whatever, 10 or 15 minutes or whatever, on council agenda in the morning session.
If I might offer one other point of information.
Yes, sir.
I just had a brief conversation with some folks from DenRec, and they advised me that the packet that Mr. Lank just handed out on page 25 includes a definition of open space, and they offered for your consideration that as a possible definition of open space that you may want to borrow if you want to make any changes to the one that's under consideration.
I'm sorry, what page again?
Page 25. I believe it is under my,
that's right,
my version. So again, it's just for your, they just asked me to bring it to your attention.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Duly noted. What we'll do, John, is we'll start with open space since that was first up on our agenda. If everyone wants to take a minute and read what's on page 25, we'll do that, and then we'll open the floor for discussion. Everybody had a chance to look and see. All right, who wants to go first?
Just for, in general, the it appears that a part of what DenRec's stating is also part of what our Urban Research and Development Corporation offered us, just a little bit more expanded in both directions, one from the other. If there's in looking at the portion referenced in super green on page 25, they've got passive recreation, appears to be a definition of sorts, And then they've included active in the same reference, which is good. They're both short. Like one-liners.
Mm-hmm.
Might need to be a little bit longer than that. And the one from the URDC.
Yeah, I think the two are fairly similar. They, in his, in the Denrec version, they're not including recreational ponds, stormwater management structures, or wastewater treatment facilities. And I know in the past we've talked about the issue with the, the stormwater, but I guess maybe you could differentiate between, and maybe this does, maybe it does, maybe it does reference natural ponds. No, it doesn't.
No, it just, it talks about excluding recreational ponds.
I don't see, if you have a recreational pond that's pre-existing on a site, I don't quite know how that's not open space, but that may have just be something that they didn't consider, but we certainly can.
I know we have in the past, Mr. Chairman, thinking, I believe it was Hastings Hollow that has a burrow pit that's planned to be part of their recreation.
Yeah, and this is another issue we need to get some feedback on, because frequently the stormwater management structures, stormwater management ponds are constructed really larger than they need to be, because there's a desire to get the fill material to use on site and so on. And the same could be true for a recreational pond, could be excavated for the same reason, and maybe a little problematic. I don't know, but let's put it out there. Let's talk about it. I mean, if it's recreation, it's recreation, whether it's man-made or natural. I guess is one way to look at it. But.
Well, I recall another project. I might have been on Route 16 in the Milton area. I think this is before you got on board IG, where there was extensive ponds that were proposed all throughout the development. And they talked about non-motorized boats and that were going to be used on it. And I believe we approved that as part of their amenity package for that development. I can't remember, I think it was
we've done it on a
prep dryer,
couple
dryer
of occasions
was a,
that we've done that.
Ponds on it. But they're ponds, not stormwater management.
Right. That's what these are considered recreational ponds.
You know. We have to differentiate. Yeah, so this is a stormwater management pond, therefore it's in out of the calculation, and this is a recreational pond.
Well, that's a good question. That's
what if they're both?
That's what we're here to talk about.
Yeah.
Well, if they're both, I mean, it's also has been suggested that if the stormwater management pond has some other redeeming characteristic, like fountains or, you know, fishing or something, that you might have a different view of it. I'm sorry, Lawrence, you're going to say something?
No, basically the same thing. Basically where you were going.
And I agree with you, Mr. Chairman, that if there's some recreational feature other than just looking at it, you know, that's different. I mean, many of these ponds have the fountains in it, which is more as much for it. Not aerating it. Thank you. That's the word I was looking for. You know, keep the pond scum off rather than providing, you know, some recreational benefit. Although I know realtors like to tout, you know, water view, you know, even if it is a ditch. Nothing towards you, Mr. Smith.
Fine. Fire away.
Present company accepted.
Yeah, exactly.
No, I agree that I think if it's going to be used for recreation, fishing, boating, or something like that, then it should be open space. Mm-hmm. But they're going to have to definitely define what their recreation is going to be.
Well, then all of a sudden, every stormwater management pond we have comes in and will be set aside for boating and fishing.
Yeah, that's what I'm getting ready to say. Okay. What are you going to do about it?
Maybe by size.
Well, and yeah. So you're going to have that's an issue. I don't think there would be an issue with natural ponds. The pond's already there, natural body of water, lake, whatever, pond, whatever it is. You know.
Well, you made the point earlier that you get large numbers of ponds, and you find out from the district that they've got more than they really need.
Sure.
And the district, I think, in some occasions, based on some of their comments, would like to see them reduced. Then the site plan could be amended to reduce it. If it's going to be leave it as open space but not have any pond in it of sorts. They're basically going, like you said earlier, for fill material for development of the project.
Yeah, if your stormwater management pond does not count as open space, then it will not be oversized. No question. Mm-hmm. It's not going to be oversized. Unless the value of dirt gets to be more than the value of developed lots, which I don't think we're there yet, but you know, so that would be a way to correct that situation. Mm-hmm. And that would make, you know, the ponds would then be designed for the purpose intended and not for, you know, any other.
In a reference to the super green definition, if you read the second paragraph, it says open space does not include impervious surfaces and gives examples of roads, parking lots, sidewalks, buildings, recreational ponds, etc. I wonder if that's not intended that they're lined, just about because the others are. Because that's a line. It's a lined pond. It's got a liner. Because the stormwater management structures typically do, and so do wastewater treatment systems.
When you say, in most cases,
most of the stormwater management have outfalls are set aside for that purpose. Right. Intended to hold the water in certain types, and the other types it's there to percolate short term,
right.
hold for a 100-year storm, and then it basically perks out in 24 hours. I just wonder, because of the way that's written and where it's written, it might be a lined situation in that case.
Who determines if they're lined?
Well, it would be the district or then record.
Well,
both,
the engineer will choose whichever he needs
it.
For that. You know, one is a retention pond and the other one is a detention pond.
Right.
So
it depends on which type it is. I know they've used italics for passive recreation, but they didn't for active. Just in the same paragraph, I guess that's why. They should probably both be defined,
right.
What's passive and what's active, if we go to write such an ordinance.
It's a pretty general definition of passive recreation, though.
Well, the open space is too. It just doesn't contain a whole lot.
Yeah.
Reason for separation between active and passive would be then the developer would then claim which one is which?
Well, yeah, I mean, if you've got a stand of trees that you're leaving as part of your open space, that's passive. That would be a passive area.
In their presentation, they say I got 17%.
Well, yeah, in fact, I don't know that they're even going to bother to differentiate between passive and active because they don't have to. There's nothing in the ordinance that requires
right.
them to do that. What they're going to differentiate between is open space and not open space.
Right.
I think that's why we ought to keep it. I don't think we should try to define recreation form and all that either.
The only reason you should, if I could suggest, the only reason you should make a distinction between active and passive is if there's going to be a requirement for some amount of active.
Yeah.
Recreation. Then you need to make a distinction. But if there's no requirement, like you say, I would be more apt to
define active recreation than I would be passive recreation, simply because to me it's
everything
easier.
It's not active.
It's not active. If it's not active, it's passive.
Right.
And active would refer to any multitude of activities that could take place, you know, there, and that would be it. But I'm not even sure we need to do that. At least for the purposes of this open space ordinance.
And if I could muddle the discussion a little bit,
sure.
Going back to the issue of stormwater management and open space, with the advent of low impact design, green technology, whatever you want to call it, there's more of a movement to make stormwater management less a utility, less a pipe and pond kind of approach, which is what we're used to, and more passive dealing with pollution removal and management of stormwater, more like it's a resource than a waste product, which is the way we've traditionally dealt with it. And so things that will become, that may have been put into a pipe that went into a pond in the old days, now more and more in many circumstances are going to go into a swale, into something that slows things up, that allows it to be filtered, which may be part of the open space, but it also serves as a filter for the stormwater.
Yeah,
but it wouldn't be counted as either stormwater or as open space. It's going to have to be classified as something, but it would serve both purposes.
Yeah.
So then would our charge be to try to have our council draft and adopt an open space ordinance that would be dealing more with active and passive amenity type areas? And your suggestion then perhaps that if it's not a naturally occurring pond, that what now would be a stormwater management type feature then would be treated differently on the site plan and thus the calculations?
I don't know if I'm trying to be that specific, but I guess what I'm trying to suggest is I don't want to preclude the new design options because it just happens to be open space however you want to do it, and I just don't want to preclude that option.
I have a question because I don't know anything about this from the engineering perspective, but what about these features prevents them from being classified as part of the wastewater treatment system or the stormwater management system?
Well, that's part of what my concern is. They would be part of the stormwater management system, but because of their design, they're not the traditional pipe and pond system, which gives the appearance of a utility, but...
Is your concern that they appear or could be used as open space?
They would appear to be open space, but in reality, they're serving a stormwater management function. My thought on that would be, if it can be used for any other way, then I don't have too much of a problem with it, because it is going to be the way of the future with stormwater. Is they're getting away from the, as you said, the waste product approach and trying to reuse the water on site, and which means percolation.
A rain garden, for example.
Yeah, and those kinds of things. But if they can be used for another purpose, or they have, this is dangerous, but if they have some kind of redeeming visual quality to them, you know, I try to define that one. But, who decides that? But maybe there could be language to address it. But the structures themselves, the pond structures and so on, I think you can make a case for leaving them out of open space. Because, that'd be another way to do it. If you specifically reference the ponds, then,
again, another suggestion that might muddle things a little bit. If we move more towards performance criteria as opposed to strict definitions of active versus passive, et cetera, if it's more... what's the function of the space and how does that space relate to the rest of the development, we might be able to develop something. I'm thinking more out loud than with any particular thing in mind, but that might help with that issue. Another just quick point in the draft of from the URDC on the second page, item number 7. I'm not sure why they suggested the change, but in the plan, they suggested a width of not less than 75 feet, but in the draft that July 15th, they offered portions of land not less than 30 feet wide. I'm not sure why the change, but the plan suggests that those kinds of spaces should be 75 feet wide.
But, Mr. Council, might that have to do with buffers where we require, the 30-foot ag buffers and...
Could very well be to tie in...
The buffers as part of the open space, so...
That could be, but I think we changed the ordinance there. Now it's 20 feet.
Or in some instances, still 30 in others.
And 50 in others.
Yeah, it's getting confusing. We're going to have to look at all of them again and come up with one number, I think, to make it easier for everybody to understand it. Yeah, but I question what their intent was there, because it doesn't really describe why.
Yeah, the plan's a little more definitive, but in the draft, it just said portions of land. And I think the idea is that basically it's got to function as something. It just can't be left over.
Yeah, we assumed it was the buffer, 30-foot buffer requirement when they wrote it.
I think looking at the URDC draft, they do differentiate between impervious surfaces that are in fact part of a recreational, and I think that's important. Mm-hmm. That has to be in there. And I'm not too sure that I agree with the sidewalks, because the sidewalks have a recreational aspect to them. So I don't know that I'd be all that disturbed if the sidewalks were part of the open space, because we keep telling people to put these sidewalks in to give people a place to walk.
Right.
You know, whether it's recreational leisure walking or it's purposeful to get from one house to the other walking.
Well, that would help them in their calculation.
Yeah, and I think, sidewalks, that would help get the sidewalks into the plan, too.
Give them some incentive.
So I would...
You could add that into number 3 on page 1, at the bottom of the page. But it's references what shall not be used to meet minimum, but then except where. Number 3, impervious surfaces, except where such surfaces are part of non-commercial recreation. And then they reference in where it says bike paths, you can put sidewalks.
Yeah, I think that works. I mean, I think it helps us move developments toward we're putting those paths in, which are good for people.
Just a point of clarification, does that mean sidewalks that are included within the right-of-way adjacent to the road would be considered open space, even though it's within the road right-of-way?
That's no longer considered part of the subdivision, is it?
Well, that's my question. I mean, if it's part of the roadway, then no, it's not part of the open space. But if it's, I mean, obviously, if they move it outside the right-of-way, then it...
That's a good point.
It could be used as open space, but if it's part of the right-of-way, we don't usually count road right-of-way as being open space.
Well, then that gives them an incentive to do it in the development.
Right.
Then they
right.
get credit for it, and at least they get some credit for it that way.
Yeah, because number 2 says streets, street right-of-way.
And that's reasonable.
Rights-of-way, or driveways.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And accepting out access to open space, which is that 10-footer on number 8.
And Mr. Chairman, for the benefit of the other commissioners, in the comprehensive plan update, section 11-8-9 is a section dealing with open space within new developments. Mm-hmm. And it has some points in here that are contrary to some in there, and some we've already addressed in terms of the stormwater ponds. For example, page 11-9, it says stormwater ponds should only count as open space if they are designed to resemble a natural pond or are suitable for a recreational purpose. I think most of them are designed to kind of resemble a natural pond rather than just a circle or whatever. So I think that's in conflict too.
What's that page number?
11-9.
In the plan.
Yeah, just trying to keep up.
What's being suggested is actually more stringent than the plan.
Right. Because it doesn't say and suitable for a recreational purpose, it says or. But it then goes on and specifies that careful attention should be focused only upon what types of water and sewage facilities should be allowed to count as open space.
And that's referenced in the cluster development section.
Yeah, that's in the right. Cluster section.
Because the cluster is where typically the open space comes into issue, you know, when they're defining.
Well, would that be?
Sorry.
I think we're looking for one definition of open space to apply across, you know, all zoning categories, all residential zoning categories.
Right.
But the cluster could have something that was different, I guess. Right. Because it's supposed to be
narrow areas do not count as open space.
Right.
In the cluster, so that's another set of rules.
Well, I think the 30 feet, we're trying to put a number on what narrow means, you know. And the,
that's what that's referencing, is buffers.
Yeah, and I think the plan, as Lawrence said earlier, if you leave an out for your stormwater management pond to be part of your open space, then everyone that comes in here is going to be that. Whether it is or not, they're going to do whatever they can possibly do to make it that way. Now, maybe that's not such a bad thing if they're actually going to make it usable for recreation, but we all know that's a matter of opinion whether it's usable for recreation. And
the reference in the definition of 115-4, that's the definition section of the zoning ordinance, would also have to be incorporated into 99, so it's included within the subdivision regulation,
right,
and be a part of both documents. So you're going to have two documents, either in one ordinance format and then referencing both for us in two separate ones, and basically they should match. So it really could be in one ordinance and just reference both chapters.
So we want to come up with one definition for open space.
Yeah, we don't want two different things, because we're looking at both at the same time anyway.
What do you think about the ponds, gentlemen? In or out? Open space, not open space?
I think if there's a definite recreational use, it should be considered part of open space. Like just having a fountain or something for Vista, kind of short-circuiting that.
Okay.
So if there's a specified recreational use, you know, whether they talk about non-motorized boats or, you know, for canoes or kayaks or something, you know, that's obviously going to take
fish.
Well, you can stock fish on a little mud hole.
It would be an active,
right,
recreational use though.
True.
I think if you
duck shooting on the barn,
if you
or bomb.
Well, let's see, yep. Mr. Gordy, are you
with Mr. Burton or with Mr. Johnson on this one?
Well, I agree with Mr. Johnson. I think if we can figure out a way if it's used for recreational, that we can use it for open space, but we're going to have to limit it to away from just stormwater management ponds. Because like I said before, they can make those look natural. So I don't know if we talk about size of the pond or, I mean, there's only so many, you got to have a large enough pond to do boating and all that.
Yeah, it's got to be pretty substantial. It's not worth the effort.
Right.
I'm seeing some of the existing stormwater management ponds that are crisscrossed with monofilament to control the nuisance geese that I don't even believe Harry Aiken could cast, you know, in there and hit, or Jimmy Robinson in fish, or you couldn't paddle boat in them because of the monofilament. So while they look good, they're not practical, and I guess that's the solution after the fact of approval that perhaps EnviroTech or someone is saying, control this. We did have the instance where, I believe it was Burton's Pond, the RDM development, that was clearly a pond that was there, and I believe they proved ownership of that pond, and that was a true recreational pond. I think with what Mr. Couch said, that with an eye to the future, we may be seeing maybe some less of these ponds, but it... We need to come up with a definition of open space, and perhaps the stormwater management aspect of it would be something else that we could look at on the site plan. And
well, I think the case for excluding them from open space is that it will encourage them to keep the ponds to a reasonable size and to explore other, you know, better practices for handling stormwater. I understand what you guys are saying, because in the there could be a situation certainly where it might be preferable to have the stormwater pond count for because of some recreational use. But I guess we have to ask ourselves, what do we think the more likely scenario is going to be? And you know, I think it's perhaps more likely that, you know, it's not that there will be every pond will be recreational. If we put that exception in there, everyone that comes in here is going to be a
wet pond instead of a dry pond.
Yep, and that may or may not be, but what's best for the environment, and you know, so that's my concern. But that's what my concern is, and. Is there any mechanism, Mr. Lang, that we could put in there to give us the ability to make an exception if we wanted to?
Well, you might have to create that exception.
You might have to create a modification element to the subdivision.
Oh, yeah, right. Anyway. I'm saying it might be that we could, based on the...
See, I don't want to base...
Way the regulation written out, we should probably amend it to be more specific.
Right. Well, I don't want the definition of open space to be done in order to accommodate the unlikely case. You know, I think it needs to be done to accommodate the likely cases, and then we'll deal with the unlikely cases when they happen. That's just my thought.
And what the Super Green offers is that does not include recreational ponds. But it does, and that stormwater management structures isn't necessarily a pond, but you typically they say facility, which could be a pond. The Denrec's been fighting with the same argument, it appears.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the district would like to see less ponds in some of the comments we've seen from them.
There's nothing from soil conservation we can get from them saying, I mean, if somebody comes in with this pond that's not needed, and they're going to say they're going to use it for recreation, can we get input from them, say if it's needed or not?
We can, but we already know that the answer to that is that a lot of times they're not needed.
Right.
So
yeah, they've told us that before. They've told us that they've been a little bit aggressive on the amount of ponding they're creating. A couple of times we've had comments like that.
And it's about the dirt. It's not about creating an amenity for the development, guys. It's about the dirt. They need the dirt for the
development. Well, we've had projects come in that they applied for a bar pit, and at the same time they applied to develop it. And that where they're being upfront that they're going to haul it off property because they don't really need it for the on-site. And then they come in and do their plans for their development around the lake. It's all applied for at the same time.
And if that lake is counted in your open space, then you're going to end up with a density on the uplands that is something you're really not looking for.
And the question is, are they applying for more open space? And Bob just used the magic word, or are they applying for more land to calculate density?
You see, it all goes back to density, guys. That's why the open space definition is so important, because it affects density. And you know, so as far as the issue with the storm water goes, and I'm kind of like to reach a consensus on stormwater, because the next one's going to take, the next thing we're going to talk about is wetlands, which is going to be an even more involved discussion. So let's try to get finished with stormwater ponds, at least for the time being. And I think what our we're trying to do today is to give the office some direction that can be passed on, so that when the ordinance comes down, it has a chance of looking like something that we might be able to move forward with. So,
well, the difficulty we've had in the past that we have an ordinance prepared and submitted to us, and we make a recommendation with little input from the public, and they go to the council, and the chambers are half full.
Yeah.
And the council goes in the opposite direction. Next thing you know, the council is sending it back with a new proposal.
Right.
And we've, trying in one case, we looked at the same ordinance three different ways. So we're trying to get it so we've got some input up front so we can hopefully have an ordinance prepared that will satisfy commission and council.
Okay.
Well, the all recreational ponds, are they also part of the stormwater management system? Is that for outflow or?
Well, they have to be designed so that they drain, and they have criteria on how the drainage has to take place. You can't drain off anymore.
I don't know.
Than you did before.
Right.
I don't know that a lot of new ponds get built for the sole purpose of recreation.
No.
I think they're almost always done for stormwater management purposes. And existing bodies of water, like streams, existing ponds, and so on, are frequently used for outfalls for stormwater. So, you know, that's so they end up being part of the stormwater system.
Well, even if you consider a large development, that includes a golf course. The golf course is set up the same way. It's there for drainage as much as it's designed for aesthetics or the competitiveness of the golf. Right. So it comes out the same. It's they all interconnect. That end up being stormwater pond.
Right. Well, if we decide to take stormwater out and then we fix money to water of the bioswales, are you counting them in?
Mm-hmm. I'm so talking about ponds.
Pond.
I'm trying to give them an out. Bioswales, I think, are the what we want to see people do. I think
And if we give them that part of the open space, right? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. What I'm saying is that's just because typically a bioswale, when it's not raining, you can walk across it. You can throw a football, or you can.
So it would be a structure of
the pond. The pond is what's not going to count.
Well, some of the bioretention ponds, which aren't necessarily wet, are designed and planted with wetland type vegetation that'll be able to grow in that situation, and as the stormwater runoff goes into that pond, it would maintain water for 24 hours or so, and then it would percolate out, and it'd still maintain the vegetation. I think that's what they call them anyway.
Okay.
You're not going to throw a football in there.
They're not on some of those 24-hour sessions.
If you can't do something else with it other than look at it, then it shouldn't count if it's part of the stormwater management system. Way I feel about it, anyway, if you can.
And why I reference that, because again, you're going to bring wetlands up again, and basically they're some of those
wetlands,
or those bioretention ponds are designed for created wetlands.
Created wetlands.
Yeah. It's another method of mitigation.
Yeah.
And they're good filters, exactly right.
So if we said that, to try and clarify that about the ponds, and if we said that the ponds are used for active recreation, you know, that takes out the, you know, looking at the pond or having a lighted fountain.
Mm-hmm.
You know, is that going to help clarify? Or like IG said, you know, you can stick a few carp in a mud hole. It's recreation.
And that would be active too. It could be fishing.
Well, you could. It would be a substantial size pond, like Benny said earlier, to use it for active recreation, boating, canoeing, kayaking, or whatever. And if it's just passive, it could be a couple of benches set around it, and you sit there and review it. You know, that's about all you're doing is looking at it. The word passive example came about 20-some-odd years ago at the beach. they had areas of their land they couldn't use because it's east of the dune, and it's, they come in and presentations, they were creating active or passive recreation. And we asked them what it was, and they said it was a view. And the view's already there. Nobody would know. It was their property because it's dune land.
Yeah, they're not creating the view.
It's already there. They just can't use it.
Yeah.
So they're calling it passive recreation area. So Bob's question was, how many, 10 minutes ago?
Yeah.
Or 20, maybe.
Stormwater management.
Do you consider stormwater management pond as recreation, in or out?
Stormwater management ponds, I'd say, are out.
Out, okay. Wetlands, gentlemen. In or out, same question. Now, this brings up a couple of, and this may have a little more creative answer than stormwater did, because you've got all kinds of situations, and what the one that comes to my mind is that, what was that called, North Bay?
North Beach.
Those of you who remember North Beach is like 90% wetlands, and on this one little piece of uplands they packed in, the density. Here we go. We're back to density again.
Because it wasn't tidal.
Yeah.
That was the biggest part of it.
Right.
So sounds like Caldera property.
So, well, here's the thing. That's exactly right. That's another more recent one that we've had. What's where that? There was isolated wetlands, relatively isolated wetlands.
I thought it was isolated uplands.
Or isolated uplands. Okay. All right. Yes. Yeah, actually, that's correct. What was isolated were the uplands. And how do you deal with those situations? And do you say wetlands are out all the time, or do you come up with some little more creative answer? And I don't know, Mr. Johnson, what do you think?
Well, I think the wetlands can be part of the passive recreation, and perhaps could be included in that. And as you well know, I'm opposed to using wetlands in the density calculation, because it can't be built on, it can't be used to start with. So why should they be even part of the...
Why should they be part of the open space?
Well, I can see it being part of the open space because it's to me, it's like looking at... I'm making a distinction.
Space, they're part of your density calculation.
All right, then I don't think they should be part of open space.
Yeah. Or if you want to create some... for those unusual situations where a large percentage is wetlands and you want to... never mind. That's a different issue.
Well, I mean, you can't have situations where you have the boardwalk that goes through the wetlands and that type of thing. We've had those couple of projects like that.
Well, the question is, what type of wetlands are you talking about? Can't calculate tidal. That should be specific throughout the codes.
Right.
We haven't calculated them before. It's specific in RPCs, but it's not real specific in others. So it should be really tight and clear in the ordinances that you don't calculate tidal. The difficulty we get into is, since we're not getting approval documents from the Corps, unless you wait long term to get them, is what actually is the wetlands on that site. We have a little problem with that. We've discussed that several times in applications. We're not getting responses from the Corps to let us know what the amount of wetlands is. So that makes it tough. So tidal should definitely not be calculated for density, even though it is passive open space. That's the difficulty you get into. If you calculate open space, do you calculate it for density? It's got to be clear that you do or don't.
Can't,
whatever the right wording is. Non-tidal becomes a difficult one, and then you got isolated. Even though it's non-tidal, it's still isolated. What do you do with those? And half of them are coming back and they're saying they're not.
They're not tidal.
The experts are saying they're not. Oh, they're non-tidal anyway, but they're saying that they are, say, sodbuster, where they've been used for farmland for several years, and they could be taken out of the being defined as a wetland. And we had one project in the last year that came in with a wetlands map, and by the time we got to the public hearing, they had a different lines, a couple of things had come out. The Commonwealth group If you remember that, some of their buildings were actually appeared to be in the first map on wetlands, or the second map they weren't. And their wetlands expert said it wasn't wetlands anymore, not calculated based on the way the growth or whatever. I forget what the definition was. That was just a like most recent example probably is that.
Yeah, I think perhaps the interest is more along the lines of keeping them out of the density calculation than it is keeping them out of open space.
Yeah, right. It's there. It's basically passive open space where you calculate it or not, as far as your open space. But the difficulty is, do you calculate the density?
Okay. For purposes of an open space ordinance, then, the only question we're trying to answer, are they in or are they out?
Right.
So in this case, we're suggesting that the wetlands would be allowed to be counted as part of the open space?
You're saying are they in or they out on density?
No, on open space, not on density. Density is going to come later.
We're making a distinction.
Making a distinction in that they could be counted as part of your open space, so they have some value in meeting that requirement. Later on, though, we can talk about it today, but it's not part of what we're trying to decide at the moment, is the density issue. Because they can count as open space, but they can all be excluded for purposes of density, or 50% excluded for purposes of density, you know, or some measure, you know, something like that. But, you know, I guess that, as Lawrence says, they're there. I guess they're open space.
Well, and again, you got two proposed concept of ordinances here. That the superior design criteria that suggested them to be discussed also this evening is references 40% to be calculated, allow you to calculate as far as density. So that it becomes another issue in the ordinance, another ordinance. I just read it real quick. It says open space. Well, that doesn't reference. Let me see if it gets wetlands. I was looking at this. Locates at least, for the purpose of sex superior cluster development, is one that meets at least four of the following criteria. So it just gives four choices.
Right.
And it makes reference to locates at least 40% of all required open space on one contiguous parcel, except such open space may be separated by water bodies. And locates at least 40% of all required open space adjacent to farmland, 40% of all required open space adjacent to existing or planned open space. I thought it said something about wetlands. Here we go. No, it just says maximize the protection of, so it kind of separates it out.
Well,
it didn't help any.
And in the DENREC's definition of open space, they are including wetlands because that's part of their natural state and undeveloped condition. So,
which would make sense.
It makes sense because wetlands would remain in their natural state and undeveloped.
Right.
So, and that's in line with what DENREC's proposing under the super green. So I'm okay with, and I think it's appropriate with the wetlands being part of that open space calculation because it is being left in its natural state. It's not going to be developed as well as hopefully being a benefit to the environment.
I agree with that.
Okay. Mr. Smith, what do you think?
I can go along with that. Yes, sir.
Okay. Good.
So basically we have a consensus that their wetlands can be calculated as part of the open space, not for density.
Not for density.
For open space
only. Discussion.
Yeah,
so far.
Discussion.
Yes. So far.
Okay.
The guy bought the wetland. You know, they get some calculation.
Or he's giving it to him.
Well, if you went back to the other project, that one that we mentioned earlier, and like Bob says, like 90% of it's wetlands. They built everything on the 10%. Their calculation would have been reduced on probably what they built because we would take out the tidal portion probably. And the reason we always took out the tidal was we'd allowed the non-tidal to be calculated because in some cases the Corps would allow construction. It wasn't totally restrictive, but typically today they're more restrictive. They only allow you to disturb. Is it a half acre now?
The core.
I think it's a half acre now. It used to be an acre, but so that would allow you to an additional upland calculation of a half acre basically. So they're going to allow you to disturb that much.
But only a half acre.
Yeah, but only a half. It would, and they were going to require mitigation either there or somewhere else, typically, at twice the amount. You disturb a half, you have to mitigate at least 1 acre, and sometimes more.
And if somebody buys land that's substantially wetlands, they know that going into it.
Absolutely.
They know they can't develop it.
Sure.
Part of the price.
What's the...
Hard concept for people to grasp, though, that some land just doesn't have a very high economic value. You know, but it's a hard thing for people to grasp that some land just isn't worth a lot of money.
You can't grow houses on every piece of dirt.
That's right. You can't put a house on every piece of ground there is.
Sometimes a remnant parcel is a remnant for a reason.
Yeah, right. You got it. Because you couldn't do anything else with it.
Nobody else could come up with a good idea, so why do you think you could?
By comparison, the URDC recommended revised definition, and I'll say versus the open space definition from the super green development criteria. They could be consolidated. And
I think that would be the direction we would give based on the discussion.
It's going that way.
What do you think? You think maybe that some consolidation of the two based on the comments that we've passed on might be appropriate for consideration in an ordinance, or?
Passive and active in there?
Well, the one for the super green does reference both.
I don't think I'd try to do that. I think it muddies the water. Why?
Well, you don't try to say what it is.
Open space. We're not trying to define recreation. We're trying to define open space.
Yeah, right, you're right.
Stick to that. Because if we start trying to do too many things, you know what will happen. The whole thing will fall apart. So.
And that would be true with cluster as well.
What would be true with cluster?
Open space.
One set of rules for everything, I think, is what we're headed for. Yeah.
Well, the one set of rules would be the minimum that would apply.
Yeah.
With cluster, you have the obligation of superior design, which sets a higher bar.
Right.
But the minimum.
Yeah.
If you included a minimum open space of 25% in this ordinance. Every cluster would have to have at least 25% of open space plus whatever additional to meet the superior design criteria. But this would be the base.
It should require that some percentage of it be contiguous, a big hunk of it somewhere, instead of all these little strips between the houses.
Well, that's the benefit of having, saying that it has to be, you know, like they were proposing land being excluded if it's less than 30 feet wide.
Mm-hmm. So you don't have that's to, what that's for.
Right, yeah. So if you have 20 feet between houses, that's
right.
Not open space.
Right. Okay, are we comfortable with open space, more or less, at least enough to move on, do you think? Joe?
And we're saying that sidewalks could be included as part of the open space.
I'm thinking they could, yeah. Okay. I'm thinking that they could. If they're not in the right way.
Yeah, I wrote that in was that sidewalks, comma, not located in street rights of way. And that could be sidewalks and bike paths not located in street
right of way. Right.
That's what it should be.
Right.
Question, Mr. Chairman.
Yes,
about the propane fields that were. The propane tank
not
fields,
how
are they not open space?
I don't think propane field, the propane utility.
Any utilities.
Well, then we might want to include that.
I want to specifically mention that because they're buried, and then we'll say, well, you can play on top of them.
They were mounded with fences.
They don't count as part of your open space.
But we did have an engineer say that it was part of their open space calculation.
Yeah, so we're going to break that up.
Okay.
Yeah, let's not have that.
That was on the peninsula project.
That was also on the
trails. Yeah, that's not a appropriate.
Yeah, there's no way you can use
that. Yeah, it's just, it's all contrary to the whole program.
Well, I'd just rather just say tank farms, I would say utility areas.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Because that would, well, I know we make specific reference to wastewater, but certainly the utility areas would cover gas, electric, if you have a substation on your property or something.
Utility area might not work either, because then you get the open meadow field of the public utilities for wastewater treatment, where they're spray
irrigation. That was going to be my next question, is whether
spray irrigation,
we're good.
Yeah.
24 hours later, it goes to another section, so.
People can walk across them. And
yeah, that's right.
Well,
maybe I better put
work on that. Tank farms.
Tank farms. Circle tank farm just for question clarity.
Okay. All right, gentlemen. Moving on to superior design.
Well, first, what are we going to do about the irrigation systems and the drip systems or spray irrigation? Are we going to say that's included in the?
Well, we've approved a couple that were supposed to be drip systems or irrigation systems that were in woodlands and in golf courses. And
yes, we have.
They definitely are traveled upon, at least by walkers or bikers. They showed us examples on one project, like I think it was some area around Chicago or something, that they actually sprayed it and bike trails went right through it. Or golf course, cart paths and everything. We're going to work up something with about the tank farms, but it's not an appropriate calculation as open space.
Right.
If my pen will last that long, my pen's done, I think.
Because DEMREC in their statement under the green developments is excluding wastewater treatment systems, along with their storm management structures and the ponds. Mm-hmm. So are we?
We're going to come up with something a little different.
Because they're excluding anything, even ball fields that are not natural, right? Is that what they're saying in here? Even fields that are not naturally.
Well, they're excluding sidewalks and parking lots. And I think we were including parking lots that were part of the recreational amenities.
Well, not the parking lot, but the tennis court surface is paved.
Right.
But it shouldn't count. It should not count against them because that's what you do with a tennis court. You pave
right.
it. Well, as far as the parking lot.
We've had situations that are set aside. There's a parking area set aside specifically for the clubhouse and the pool.
Yeah.
And we've always calculated as part of the open space.
Yeah.
And it's because it's set aside for that purpose. It's just like calculating a 10-foot easement going back to just a piece of land that's set aside for open space, walkway. We've calculated that in the past.
But URDC is including the parking areas as part of the open space. If you look at
number three
at the bottom, they're saying that if they're associated with those recreational facilities, that's
non-commercial,
right.
Yeah.
So that would be
the
parking lot for the clubhouse, the parking lot for the tennis courts.
As long as they're not open to the public. If they're open to the public, then they got a problem.
Right, but if it's open just to the residents of
the
community,
then
it's part of their open space.
Correct.
But then you need to look at the two definitions of what the commission does in open space site plans for recreational amenities. That's in the code. Because it's you're going both directions there because you got a situation where you have private within a development and you've got private by membership only. And then you get commercial. There's like two methods. And they're both short. Let me just read them real quick. Recreational uses such as tennis courts, swimming pools, and other similar activities operated exclusively for the use of private membership and not for commercial purposes. Provided no such use, structure, or accessory use is located closer than any gives you setbacks, unless such setback fronts a public street or waterway with rights of way not less than 25 feet, in which instance the required setback shall need not exceed 25, and you have to have 2 acres. Then the other one would be swimming pools, game courts, picnic areas, or picnic grounds, boat basins, lakes, or similar activities in a development or subdivision where such facilities are situated on a separate lot or parcel within the development or subdivision for use of the residents and their guests and not commercially operated. That comes up both times. Maybe on less than 2 acres, such facilities subject to site plan review.
Are those accessory uses?
Yeah, it's right. It's in the it's in the permitted uses, not accessory.
Okay.
I mean, those two definitions are already, are conditions are already in the ordinance, and we use them all the time as we look at projects. And we've had the commission specifically approve site plans for the recreational amenities in the situation on number 10 where you have less than 2 acres. And then the other ones fall under the recreational use and they meet the criteria of 2 acres. Still basically a site plan in a subdivision review.
Should there be some kind of cross-reference between our definition and those sections?
Yeah, that's why I brought it up. I just think it should be. Because and I said that because the word commercial. The URDC makes reference to where such surfaces are part of parking areas dedicated to serving users of a non-commercial recreational area, and both those say they're non-commercial. So it would work in both those situations.
So with that, could we take that to a further extent and say that if a community has a golf course and that golf course is available to the public, then that's a commercial operation, therefore would be considered part of open space? Is that what we're saying?
Well, that's what I'm saying. So basically, it's defining recreational uses in both cases.
Right.
More the recreational side than just open space. And that would be basically 115-27 and 10.
Is commercial membership, is that what defines commercial?
No, one of these is actually, one of these is actually with private membership.
Private membership would be.
And typically, they would be the members of the, in most cases, the subdivision. But if it's designed to have, say they have 200 blocks and design it for 250, then they go outside. We've had some that we've approved that were for boat slips, for example, in a marina, that they couldn't get all the residents. They're all not boaters. It's like all of them not being golfers on a golf course. They get outside membership to come in and join, and that's private membership.
Not commercial.
Not commercial. So what's your question? You get started to use an example.
The tennis club in Bethany was just a straight tennis club that grew into
on Cedar Neck Road?
It grew later into a development.
The one on Cedar Neck Road was actually conditional use for a private club, tennis club, originally, because it was on a separate piece.
Okay.
And then to use the example of plantations on Plantation Road, there's a situation there where they've got a development with a recreational amenity that's actually separate. And they're trying to go private. And they use all the road system and everything within the plantation to get to it. And we're getting questions about that. So something else we have to look at. As far as staff, we have to figure that out. That goes all the way back to 76, I think. 76 or 78. But I think that what URDC did dovetails into these two ordinances that already exist. Doesn't sound like they need to be changed because they both reference non-commercial.
Mr. Chairman, I do have something I'd like to point out. It's not a deal breaker, but just to see what on the open space number two, the part where it says permanently preserved by deed restriction or conservation easement, that the permanency of that gives me a little pause. I get to thinking, if supposing we're sitting here in the early part of this century and 20 years from now there's some other use for a community or some other way of transportation where people in, you know, ABC development say, wouldn't it be great if we had a shuttle bus here or a satellite medical facility or a daycare, and darn it, we can't because we've got this tot lot that we don't need anymore or something to change in. I'm not advocating that open space or whatever be taken away from people, but does anyone else have any concerns about it? Saying the permanency of the word permanent, I guess, gives me a little cause that, subject to a review of the Planning and Zoning Commission to another use of that. I just think communities evolve. They either get older, they get younger, or uses around them could change, and some of this open space could end up being obsolete. we lock it into permanency, we don't give them an opportunity to perhaps enhance their quality of life or their development by adding something that, as we sit here, we can't say and see, this is what they need. They need a shuttle bus stop, or they need a daycare, or something else, you know, community center that now they've got enough money to go ahead and build. Anyone else have any thoughts on that, or?
You could change open space statute to include those things then.
Well, I say I don't know what those uses would be, but I just know if it's permanent, then it's permanent, and we taking some good use away from a community that may come up 20 years from now.
Well, you've had a couple of cases similar to that, and I don't want to pretend to be a lawyer, but it seems to me that whoever is the recipient holder of the easement, if it's an easement to the Wilderness Society or whatever, they'd have to be involved in it. If it's just the homeowners association, they'd have to determine whether or not to loosen up on it.
Okay.
Plus, if it's a change and it's going to be converted into lots, that kicks you guys back into it because it would be increasing the number of lots in the subdivision, and they'd have to have the 51%. So there's probably
so
two or three different ways that.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, they're always going to always wind up back here.
Okay. That's fine.
And it will say it's preserved open space, and open space will be whatever you all
the definition
said it
is
at
that
time.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Or to expand on what Rick said, they need to even have to go to the Court of Chancery, too, don't they? On that.
According to the most recent decision.
Most recent decision,
which
yeah.
I don't have in front of me, but the we had an application to develop open space.
That one lot.
Yeah. 4 years now. We've been dealing with it for around 4 years.
Exactly.
It went through court, and the courts have decided that it looks like they're going to have to go back.
But the one in Pellersville.
Yeah.
The chancellor said it has to go to Chancery Court for a decision to change open space to some other use.
So it's a much more involved process.
It's a lot more involved.
Okay.
That's right. And we had one within the last year or so where we had an application for a development that had one little lot of open space that was a utility lot temporary. And they came, the residents of the homeowner association came in and they wanted to create it as a lot so that they wouldn't have to maintain it because they weren't maintaining it. And it was becoming an eyesore, and then the commission approved it as one additional lot as a major subdivision because it was an additional lot within the project. And that was a utility lot, I believe, not
Captain's
Grant.
It was a utility lot, not a open space, I think, maybe. So utility lot, as Shane said, open space, check court of chancery. We won't have to look at it first, we'll have to look at it second. We're going to have to decide before we even think about it. That would have gotten us out of the situation at Box Hollow. And again, that was what, 4 years, right, Shane? 02 or 03?
Since 03, I believe.
Since I've been here.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay. Superior design criteria.